All right, welcome back, listeners, to day three of our technology article about Microsoft. My name is Brandon. Today we are on page 40, and I have our two panelists back in the studio with me. Welcome back, Amanda and Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. It's good to be back.
Amanda, what is something from this article that really sticks out to you so far?
I think yesterday we learned that there was a realization that the conventional wisdom about Microsoft was wrong. We see that on line 23 and 24 of yesterday. I think that for me that was something to really think about, even for ourselves. You know, is our conventional wisdom working for us right now, or is it something that we need to change, or are there changes that need to be made so that we're doing something successful or heading in the right direction? So I think that just learning that about Microsoft yesterday was a good reminder.
I like that phrase, conventional wisdom. Are you following the conventional wisdom maybe within your workplace and so forth? It's a generally accepted belief, but sometimes we do need to be unconventional. We need to be different, do something, a different way, but we just need to know, to have the wisdom to know when to be conventional and when to be unconventional. Josh, how about you? We've talked a lot over the past 2 days about Microsoft and how they are embracing the cloud. What is something maybe you've learned from this or that you want to remind the listeners about?
Well, I was a little bit surprised. I'd not really considered Microsoft to be too much of an unconventional company. I know that they've done a lot of development over time, and they've really pushed personal computing to something that is really accessible for a lot of people. But I was a little bit surprised yesterday at the top of column two when we learned that they also got into the web or cloud-based computing as far back as 2006, and they had some smaller group or team within the company start working on these ideas. And I was not aware of that and did not know that they had really started working on this at around the same time that Amazon started offering its own cloud service or Amazon Web Services. So that was new for me to know that Microsoft has really been kind of in the game here of developing a unconventional model as far as computing goes for over 10 years. And then it's just sort of recently where we as end users have really been seeing sort of the fruit of that. So they still are a fairly visionary company.
All right. And in case you're just joining us today, cloud computing, of course, let's recap that. It's not something that you save on your computer. Maybe, for example, you're working on a file or typing something up. You normally save that to your computer. But if you save it to the cloud, what is the benefit of that, or what does that mean, Amanda?
Accessibility. So you can access it through your other devices. So, for example, if I use Google Drive and I put a document up on Google Drive, I can access it through my phone, my smartphone, or my tablet, or my personal computer, or my work computer.
Very good. And that is something that we may do on a daily basis, but here we're talking on a much larger scale. Maybe, for example, you have a company and you don't want a huge IT department. You want someone else to take care of that stuff, and it's going to be cheaper for you to subscribe to one of these services that provide cloud computing.
Exactly. So here, as far as a large-scale company goes, if you are, for example, an online retailer and you need lots of server space, but then maybe once or twice a year, you have periods where online sales just go through the roof. Mm-hmm. So like maybe around Black Friday, right, where people do a lot of Christmas shopping. But
right, that's
also
the day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. It's called Black Friday, and a lot of people do their Christmas shopping. A lot of sales are going on during that time.
Exactly. So if you didn't have this cloud-based model as a company, what you would have to do is make sure that you had extra servers available, and that means literally purchasing extra machines in order to be able to deal with that increased volume and traffic through your website. But if you're using a company like Amazon Web Services, you don't have to worry about that. All it means is that you just pay a slightly different rate because you're using more of Amazon's already installed and integrated service program.
And some of this, as I was reading about it, I believe for the Amazon Web Services, you pay basically for what you use.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's every part of it is that way or certain parts, but anyway, I think that's great as well. You don't have to worry about that. It provides more flexibility and convenience. So to me, this sounds great if mm-hmm. you own a company. You know, I don't know about the costs involved, but it sounds like maybe you can save money and it's much more convenient.
Sure.
So we are talking about this cloud computing, and we're ending our technology article today. We are on page 40, so if you have your magazine, please open it to page 40, and we will have our first reading for today.
The Needed Breakthrough. In 2008, Server and Tools Chief Muglia and Andy Jassy, the leader of Amazon Web Services, or AWS, struck a deal. Some AWS customers wanted to run Microsoft's software on Amazon's infrastructure. Muglia agreed to add Amazon to a program for companies that rent Microsoft tools to their own customers and pay Microsoft at the end of each month based on how much they used. Amazon wasn't telling investors much about how AWS was doing. Microsoft, though, had its own indicator, the large and growing number of Microsoft products Amazon was paying for every month. Microsoft and Google by then had launched competing services, but it was upstart Amazon that was capturing the most customers.
All right, the needed breakthrough, and we all need breakthroughs in our life and in a company. They need breakthroughs as well. They need to overcome the obstacle. Well, what happened, Amanda, in 2008?
Well, in 2008, Server and Tools Division Chief Bob Muglia and Andy Jassy, the leader of Amazon Web Services, or AWS, struck a deal. Now, the background of this is that we've seen that Microsoft were trying to do well with their Windows Azure program, and it didn't. It was a dud. It didn't do well. So from there, they explored another avenue.
All right, and they struck a deal. They made an agreement. You see that a lot in business, people striking deals. They come to an agreement about something. And so we learn next about AWS. We've talked about Amazon Web Services on day one. That's what AWS stands for. And what do we learn in our next paragraph there, Josh?
Well, that some of the AWS customers wanted to run Microsoft software on Amazon's infrastructure. So I'm assuming that now we're all very familiar with a lot of Microsoft software, so this would be like Microsoft Word or Excel, a lot of what they call the Business Suite programs.
Mm-hmm.
They have other programs that are beyond just the Business Suite programs, and so they may or may not be talking about that particular software,
okay.
But that they Amazon had a lot of customers who wanted to be able to use Microsoft software on their web-based infrastructure.
Okay, so Muglia agreed to add Amazon to a program for companies that rent Microsoft tools to their customers, okay? And then they were going to pay Microsoft at the end of each month based on how much they use. So I mentioned earlier you pay for how much you use, so that's what they're doing here. And so it looks maybe a little bit complicated here, but they were kind of, I guess, maybe both benefiting from this?
Right. So just as Josh was saying, if you're using Microsoft Word on Amazon's platform, this infrastructure, then you're paying for Amazon's infrastructure, but you're also paying Microsoft for the use of Word during that time.
So basically, they teamed up here, and they're both, you know, receiving some money from all of this.
Yeah. And so this, I think, really is a big part of this breakthrough. So Microsoft wanted to be able to do this cloud-based or web-based services. They were having problems with their own platform.
Mm.
But then Amazon was having great success with their platform, but they didn't necessarily have the software that a lot of customers were interested in. And so the breakthrough moment is when the two companies got together and ended up working out what's basically a licensing agreement so that when customers using Amazon's platform wanted to use Microsoft products, that they would license that in order for them to be able to get a part of the proceeds depending upon how the customers ended up using the products and the time that they spent using the infrastructure as well.
Okay, great. Well, we see next that Amazon wasn't telling investors much about how AWS was doing. They were kind of keeping that a secret, Amanda.
Mm-hmm. Right. But Microsoft had its own indicator because they were working with them. You know, they were allowing them, Amazon, to use their software. So they had this indicator, and it was a large and growing number of Microsoft products that Amazon was paying for every month.
Okay, so that's a good indicator or sign. They just looked at that number, and they knew how everything was going, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so at this time, Microsoft and Google had launched competing services, but then because Microsoft was able to look at this data or the information of how they were doing in sales for their products, they then were able to be a little bit more interested in perhaps branching off and doing their own infrastructure. But really, it was the upstart Amazon, so the kind of the new kid or the new company.
New kid on the block.
Right, exactly, the new kid on the block.
We're not talking about the band from the 90s.
Oh, no, not the band from the 90s.
That is a phrase we use.
It is a phrase, right? And so, and it's a phrase that means sort of like the new person in the neighborhood, or
yes,
the new company in this case in the neighborhood of doing all these services, that it really ended up being super successful.
Okay, very good. So Amazon was doing well, and Microsoft was teaming up, and so they were also, you know, doing better, and so everybody's happy, right, Amanda?
Well, they were a bit surprised, I think, that Amazon, you know, was taking the upper hand over Microsoft and Google. I'm not sure that they liked that, but I'm sure they had to deal with that.
Right.
Right.
Well, next we're talking about a new leader. Let's find out about that in our next reading.
A new leader. Nadella took over Server and Tools in 2011 with a mandate to push harder on cloud computing. It didn't matter whether customers were ready for web-based tools, the thinking went. The industry was going that direction, and Microsoft could try to lead or risk getting left behind. Nadella placed Scott Guthrie, a career Microsoft engineering manager, in charge of the Azure team. One of Guthrie's first moves was to gather Azure's leaders for an experiment. He asked them to try to build an application using their own cloud service. It didn't go well.
All right, so we learned earlier that Muglia was, you know, over this department, the chief of the server and tools department, and now we have a new leader, and his name is what?
Satya Nadella.
Okay, so he took over server and tools in 2011 with a mandate. If you have a mandate, it's an order. And here, you know, you have an order for someone to do something. And what was the mandate?
Well, the mandate was really to push harder on cloud computing. And if you remember back to our first day on this article, there was a section that talked about havoc, right?
Yes.
And tumultuous and times. Mm-hmm. And that's part of this decision right here. So the chief executive officer, Steve Ballmer, ends up asking Bob Muglia to step down from the tools and services department, even though he was the person who was responsible for making this deal with Amazon Web Services. But I think the CEO really wanted this push into moving into cloud computing, and he really felt like this new leader, Satya Nadella, would be better able in order to push Microsoft into doing this new direction of cloud-based computing.
All right, and as a mandate, it's not just a suggestion. So this is something they really need to focus on and push into, and they need to get it done. Mm-hmm. And we also learned, you know, that Bill Gates wanted them to get more involved with this, and so that this is the direction, of course, that they're going. Well, what about the customers, Amanda?
Well, it didn't matter what the customers thought, whether customers were ready for web-based tools. At least that was the thinking that went at that time.
And we talked about this earlier, I believe yesterday, didn't we? Talking about like Apple, how they had the foresight of what customers wanted before, you know, they made the smartphone.
I think a lot of it has to do with timing, too, because we saw yesterday that when Microsoft made Windows Azure, they were thinking about its futuristic application, but the customers weren't ready to embrace that.
Yes.
But now we see here that perhaps despite that, they're willing to consider the futuristic applications, also the success of working together with Amazon and Microsoft, so that they think now is the right timing for it.
And that's because the industry was going in that direction. So Microsoft could, they could either lead or get left behind. And that's something you have to decide in a company. Are you going to lead? Or are you going to try to follow others? You might get left behind if you don't take that risk and lead. And so they took that risk. We talked a lot about betting and so forth. That also is that idea of taking risks. Sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't. Well, next we talk about Scott Guthrie. And who is he, Josh?
Well, so the new leader here of the Servers and Tools division decided to put Scott Guthrie, who was a career Microsoft engineering manager, in charge of the team, right?
Okay, all right. And one of Guthrie's first moves was to gather Azure's leaders for an experiment. And so getting everybody together is important. Get the leaders together. You want to make sure everyone is on the same page so you can work together as a team. And what was this experiment about, Amanda?
Well, he asked them to try to build an application using their own cloud service, which was Windows Azure, and it didn't go well.
So this is kind of a beautiful moment because if you remember yesterday, the push behind the cloud-based services was to allow a platform for customers to build their own applications to meet demands of the future. But that, of course, ended up being a dud because customers didn't want that. They wanted the ability to use cloud-based services in order to do what was already available to them, right? So to do off-the-shelf kind of things, but based in the cloud. And so this is a brilliant moment here when Scott Guthrie then gets the leaders together to say, hey, you developed this platform to allow people to be able to develop new applications, so why don't you give that a try? Develop a new application yourself just like a customer, and obviously they weren't able to do that, right?
Right?
And it is important because they learn from that. They know that, you know, you need to make something that's better, right? And sometimes, have you ever used a program and you think, who did this? Who? What was the thinking behind this? It's not very logical or intuitive. And, you know, and some programs are. And, you know, over time, they get better a lot of times. And that's why, you know, some people choose one program over the other. And a lot of that does have to do with whether or not you're used to using a particular program. But you can really tell sometimes that sometimes they try to guess what you might like, and it doesn't fit fit you personally. Right. So it's not easy, is it, Josh?
It is not easy, and part of that is because a lot of times the way that an engineer would use something is really not the same way that a end user would use something.
Right.
And so that is one of the things that engineers really work on, is trying to make end user use as easy as possible. But if the customer ends up having different demands that the engineer didn't foresee, then that can make for a lot of problems.
And maybe they do have people come in during their research process, like just everyday normal people, to test it out to see how it works. I'm sure they do, and that probably plays a big part.
They certainly do. I remember one moment when, it was years ago, when Facebook had changed its user interface to a drop-down settings menu that was a little bit different than before, that they had people come in and do what they call beta testing. So that's people who come in and test a program or development for the last version right before it's ready for its final release. And I remember reading on how one of those people who were administering the test ended up having a moment of internal applause when somebody who was using the new user interface for the first time discovered the drop-down menu and then all of the things they wanted them to see.
Very rewarding for them.
Really
they worked really hard. All right, well, things didn't go well during this little experiment, so let's find out what Microsoft did in order to correct it in our last reading for today.
The team rewrote Azure with a focus on ease of use and the sort of tools Amazon was having success with. It also had to unlearn lessons from decades spent selling out-of-the-box software. Azure relaunched in 2013 with a set of infrastructure services that performed many of the same functions as Amazon's AWS. Microsoft's Azure has gained traction in part by using an old tactic, building off the company's relationship with business technology buyers. "We have a lot of respect for Amazon," Guthrie said. "Our approach has always been, when working on Azure, let's not sort of thump our chest and make claims. Let's actually deliver a better product."
Okay, so Guthrie had them do this experiment. They built an application. It didn't go well. And so the team did what, Amanda?
They rewrote Azure with a focus on ease of use and the sort of tools Amazon was having success with.
All right, I like that first one, ease of use. If you're the user, you want it to be easy when you try to use an application. You want it to just be very simple and straightforward, right, Josh?
It's very true. So I always appreciate when things are simple and straightforward, and I'm very interested in getting into things and seeing how they work. Mm-hmm. But I know many, many people, they don't want to spend a lot of time trying to figure stuff out. They just want to be able to use it and work with it and go with it.
Right. Yeah. And so we also see here they tried to copy, you know, what Amazon was doing. They wanted to emulate that, emulate their success, because they wanted to have that same success. So it also had to unlearn lessons from decades spent selling out-of-the-box software. Microsoft had to unlearn some things. It's never easy to unlearn something. Once you get set in your ways, so to speak, it's hard to make those changes. So what is this out-of-the-box software they're talking about, Josh?
Well, this is sort of the same kind of thing as the shrink-wrap software, right? So used to be that when you purchased a game or software, you would go to a store and you would have a little disc or a little CD that was sitting inside a box on the shelf. So you'd take the, open up the box and get all the manuals out, and then you'd get the CD out, and then you put that into your computer, and then you install the software. Well, it doesn't really happen like that so much anymore.
No. Remember those old floppy disks from many, many,
many years ago? Back in the day, right?
Amanda, that was before your time, right?
Yeah, no, I do like it.
All right, so that's about the out-of-the-box software. Well, Azure, they relaunched in 2013 with a set of infrastructure services that did what, Amanda?
They performed many of the same functions as Amazon's AWS.
Okay, so we've been talking about Amazon AWS, of course, is Amazon Web Services, and Microsoft is trying to emulate them. They want their success. So Azure, they relaunched this in 2013. And what happened? What do we learn in our next paragraph?
Well, that they have gained traction in part by using an old tactic. Right.
Okay, that phrase, gain traction, it makes me think of a car with wheels, right? Mm-hmm. The tires, if they are able to get traction, they are able to kind of hold on to the ground, and the car doesn't slide around. You're able to move forward, or in this case, you could say become popular. So this program, the service became more popular.
Right, and that's a good, I think, picture of the way that people refer to gaining traction in the marketplace or gaining traction with an idea. So you have an idea that starts sticking a little bit better in people's heads.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that tactic, that's a good word to know. They were using an old tactic. So what does that word mean?
Tactic means just a strategy of doing something. And usually it's a strategy for succeeding in something.
All right. And the old tactic was building off the company's relationship with business technology buyers. Wow, it all comes back to relationships.
It does all come back to relationships. And the relationship that a lot of companies have with Microsoft already. And like I think I said maybe yesterday, that a lot of people are familiar with their business suite, right?
Sure.
So the Excel spreadsheets is a very popular program. People use it for many, many different things. Also, databases and PowerPoint and word processing. So these are, this is software that many, many, many companies really depend upon for their day-to-day operations.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a well-known brand, you can build off of that, and hopefully, you know, more people will come to you or trust you because you are a popular brand.
Mm-hmm. And I think they did this really well initially when, in 2008, they worked together with Amazon. Mm-hmm. Just the bringing together of Amazon's infrastructure and Microsoft's tools really helped them to be able to build relationships with these customers more and more. And so from there, that reputation has stayed in the customer's head, and they know, oh, yeah, this is something I can trust.
All right, and so those relationships are important. It makes me also think of networking. You know, as individuals, we need to network and build those relationships. Well, what does Guthrie have to say there in our last paragraph, Josh?
Well, he says that they have a lot of respect for Amazon, right? So
okay.
That means that, and I think in this case, it kind of goes back to that idea of the upstart, right? So mm-hmm. Amazon is an upstart. It's relatively new in the computing business, and they didn't really start off working as a computing company,
sure.
right? They started off being an online retailer. So that's kind of just like a Internet Walmart.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, they like what they saw on Amazon, and we talked a lot about how they want to emulate them and I think more so emulate their success and learn from them. Well, he goes on, he says, our approach has always been when working on Azure, let's not sort of thump our chest and make claims. Let's actually deliver a better product. Thump our chest, Amanda.
I think this is just referring to making claims, right?
And being like really proud, right?
Yeah, like a declaration, like, look at me, I'm so great.
Yeah, so like a big gorilla that's trying to scare off another gorilla by thumping its chest and saying, like, I'm so big, I'm so strong, I'm so great. So it's that sort of image and picture.
The point is to actually deliver a better product. And that's, of course, what the customers want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is about all the time we have for our technology article today. So we hope that you will join us next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. And we thank you again for joining us. Until next time, this is Brandon.
Amanda.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.